This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome in to episode 330 of the Sources Say podcast, your go-to Kentucky basketball and recruiting podcast on the growing KSR podcast network. I'm your host, Jack Pilgrim of Kentucky Sports Radio. Very excited for our version of a breaking news edition of Sources. How are you?
I am fantastic. And now that this search is over, I'm even happier because now we can finally talk about what this thing's going to look like and start moving forward. It's a new era, Jack, and it's a good day for Kentucky basketball to take a step forward.
Do you have the echo? I'm hearing a bad echo from somebody. Is it playing through Steven's mic or something?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Believe it's us, really, we've not had technical issues in a while, but here they come.
It's blowing my mind. I can't stop hearing myself talking. Oh, good Lord. Anyway, all right. While we're dealing with this, Sean, give your takes. What's going on? How excited or up and down about the decision? I'm hearing this constant nonsense in my ear. So talk while I fix this.
Okay. Hopefully you don't have to hear it twice, but no, initially last night when it all started to kind of break that Mark Pope was not just a candidate, but the candidate, I wasn't thrilled about it initially. And everyone that follows me on Twitter and social media will tell you that. But I think that was just because I had my sights set on that top three that we had all kind of named and all had identified. And I thought we were going to go here to here to here, and then started getting into another tier. But someone very close to me was actually in and around the BYU staff earlier in the week, and they text me and mentioned Mark Pope's name. I didn't even text back because I didn't even entertain it. But I found out today that message was sent to me because it was a possibility then that Mitch was high on Pope. From the beginning, obviously they looked at this option, but then once it got to that point, it all became Mark Pope and believing in Mark Pope and in the vision of what this program can look like. And look now, Jack, this is three blue blood programs that have turned to a member of its family: UNC, Duke, and Kentucky. It's working for the other two. Let's see if it works for the third. But I hated it initially, but I grew to love it as the day went along. And once I saw the support, I thought it was really cool because I feel like for the first time, even though there's some people out there that are still on the fence about it, the overall support that I'm seeing from people, some retweets from some other UK accounts and things and the boosters and all this stuff, it feels like this might be the most unified we've been in a long time.
And by the way, I was just being a moron. I had the link playing in the background and it was a separate tab open and it didn't look like it was on any of my other tabs. So it was just playing the actual you listeners were listening to. It was me talking with that while I was trying to talk over it. So I was just being a moron. So my bad. I got it figured out. We're good. It was a really, really weird 24 hours where you went to bed thinking that you're going to wake up with Scott Drew as your head coach. And then that moved pretty quickly in the morning to where Scott Drew officially publicly turns it down, said that he needed to sleep on it, needed to pray on it, woke up very, very apparently wanting to stay in Waco with family. I heard there was some, you know, it wasn't just the wife that wasn't very comfortable, in Lexington and it was bigger family circumstances with, you know, living situation and just moving into a, a brand new house and some of the little dynamics there that just made, I mean, we have 21 years of life. In this one spot, uprooting it, no matter how good the job was, I was told that Scott wanted it and went into it saying 99% chance I'm going to take it. And I think when just the dust settled and the reality hit, the magnitude of it all kind of hit, it was just, man, I think we're Waco lifers, and that's a totally respectable decision. Can't fault a guy for becoming a legend, building a program up from the ground and landing, making it the conscientious decision that I need to finish my career there. You can't blame somebody for that. A couple hours later, UK officially meets with Dan Hurley, extends the Godfather offer, and he turns it down, which, good on him. That's a really, again, respectful thing on his end, too, to show that his loyalty lies in stores. And that's a really, cool thing that people around him privately didn't think that that would ever happen. So I was very wrong in saying that he listened. They met. So clearly it was something that it wasn't just totally closed, door completely closed. But to his credit, it was a quick no and made it very clear that he wanted to, do that three-peat and become a legend in stores. Good on him. I was wrong. Happy to be wrong. I'm glad, you respect a guy for making a decision like that. It takes guts to turn down the biggest offer in the history of college basketball to become the head coach of the University of Kentucky. That says something. So good on Dan Hurley. It's an admirable thing on his part. And then that's where the silence kind of kept it. Like, we knew who the top two guys were, knew that Nate Oates, they had kind of talked, but didn't get past the surface of those conversations. And then that next grouping was, okay, well, we know Billy Donovan's an obvious connection, but then beyond that, who are the top guys? And none of those, we knew that Shaka Smart, Chris Beard, some of the other guys of, okay, here's the tier two group, but we never really got tangible evidence and speculation about what that next group looked like in terms of priorities, who Mitch was, really was a fan of, who he was a clear out on. Bruce Pearl was thought to be in that next group. I was told that Bruce Pearl never even got a phone call. So who the list of priorities on Mitch's side was completely close to vest. I didn't hear after Dan Hurley was a no. Everything beyond that was, well, I reach out to Billy Donovan's people and they say, we'd be open to talking after the season, but right now we have games to take care of. That's on the complete back burner. I don't feel anything on my side that indicates that anything's in the works. So you talk to that and you go, well, damn, this is kind of weird. And then first official name leaks and it's Mark Pope. And you go, whoa. Just on the surface, in terms of 12 hours before that, Scott Drew was thought to be the guy. Fans had kind of pushed all their chips in on Scott. And then a couple hours later after that, Dan Hurley turns you down. And then you go to the BYU head coach. And just on the surface, the backlash was about what you would expect, because fans had, in talking about it as openly as we did, we got some fans excited, media excitement, and fans want the biggest and brightest names, just like I did. So, I'll take some blame for that, however you want to feel about that, just hour by hour dynamic. All of that kind of was felt very, very quickly when Mark Pope was announced as the next candidate. And it was like, oh boy, that will not go over well with Big Blue Nation. It just won't. And then 3 hours after that, it's announced that he is being finalized as the next head coach of the University of Kentucky under replacing John Calipari. And the immediate response was a war zone, an absolute just, how in the hell did we get to this point where we woke up this morning expecting one thing and now we're going to bed with a complete 180, not even on the same stratosphere of a head coach? Talk me through that initial emotion, Sean, when you saw the I believe it was Matt Norlander break the news that they're finalizing a deal with Mark Pope.
I said good night. I quoted the tweet and said good night, and then I proceeded to tweet about more appearances in the CBI than the NCAA tournament, and I was just shocked that Kentucky was going that direction. But then when I woke up this morning, and I actually deleted both those tweets, and I usually don't delete tweets, but I deleted those two because, one, I don't feel like getting started off on a note where I piss somebody off before they ever even walk in the door. So I want to start clean here, and I decided to start watching tape. And, you know, I'd watched BYU at times. I know someone that was involved in their program out there this season. And so I followed it, you know, closely. But the more I started to look at it, my biggest question was, what will the support be like? Because I was seeing kind of the pushback initially from the fans that it concerned me. And even us, we were like, how did we get here? Like, is this settling, or is this really who we think is the best option for moving forward? Now, this is a risk. It's taking a chance. And I felt that way last night. I feel that way right now, but it's taking a chance on one of us. And the more I thought about it, the more I was okay with it. Because I truly believe that someone, and I'm all the time talking about Kentucky experience when it comes to playing. There is nothing that can simulate Kentucky experience on the court. I've never thought about it on the sideline. So once I started thinking about it, I was like, okay, if this were to work, let's say that this works, and I think now we're seeing the support's going to be there, the NIL support. The fans, I think, are coming around. I expect Rupp Arena to be full on Sunday, and after they hear Mark Pope speak, a lot more people are probably going to get on board with this. But what happens here, Jack, is if this works, you're set long term here. That if this really pops and you figure it out, you've got someone, and this is the first time that we've been in the situation where I truly feel like, okay, this is a Kentucky guy that can do it and get it done. He's had success at BYU. I like that he played at a major conference recently and won some really tough road games and went into those environments and showed what he can do. Offensively, they're going to be so much fun to watch. But those initial reactions that I had was more, I think, just like, well, I'd set my sights on Scott Drew, and then I was talking Dan Hurley, and I guess it kind of just all happened so quickly that I was like, no, don't mess this up. But the more I've thought about it and I slept on it, I feel significantly better about it, and I'm willing to give this a chance because I like taking a gamble on someone that is one of us. And that's what it comes down to. Someone that understands what it truly means to wear Kentucky across your chest and has won a national championship, Jack. I think there's value in that.
I got a call 10 minutes after the news broke that he was going to be the guy. And it was the smartest basketball mind beyond Sean Smith, of course, that I know personally, very close buddy of mine that we talk very regularly, that knows, has more basketball knowledge in his pinky than I ever will. That he called me immediately and he said, hey, the feelings that you're having right now, I want you to know that you will never feel like this again. This is right now is the worst that you're going to feel about this hire until the day Mark Pope leaves. He said, I am in love with the BYU system. I love the offense that he runs. He is one of the most brilliant basketball minds that I know in the game, among rising names in the game. There is no one better out there at what Mark Pope does than what he does. And considering the ties, considering the legacy, and knowing what all of this stuff means, as you said, Sean, he said, if the backing is where it needs to be, we are going to be talking about this coaching, about this coaching hire as one of the Nate Oates emerging as, oh my gosh, the guy everybody just falls in love with, this guy that's the star of college basketball with analytics and, you know, just being modern. That's him, but years before. It said, just he has to have the financial resources, NIL, recruiting backing, building out the right staff. That's going to be very important. But he said, if this thing goes the way the vision should look like, Mark Pope is an absolute home run hire and will be better than Bruce Pearl, he even named Billy Donovan, said that it was going to be a better hire, not PR wise initially, obviously, but down the road when the fruits of his labor are finally harvested, it's going to be worth the wait and worth the long-term investment. So it was like an immediate panic. Oh my gosh, how did we get here? I woke up this morning thinking we were going to bring in the 2021 national championship coach, and now it's the 1996 national champion as a player, and he hasn't won one single postseason game. We're screwed. And then like the more you dug and got into the nuts and bolts of it, it was, oh, this isn't as bad as I think people just, it was just the expectation thing. It's not even that it's a bad hire. It was just what you were expecting, what you're hoping for, and why you were hoping for it. What you were going to get out of a championship winning coach that you were hoping to get out of Dan Hurley or Scott Drew. It's just a different type of championship winning coach. It's more of an understanding what it takes to do it here, which there's value in that. So it was a really wild feeling of emotion. That's why I tried, as soon as the news dropped, I tried not to just tweet recklessly. I tried not to, say anything dumb on the message board, tried not to come onto this rapid reaction and say something that I would end up regretting, because it was like, okay, he's the guy. We gotta get to the bottom of this and understand the why. And if there's a long-term criticism, if there's a, we have to have hard conversations down the road, that's one thing, but there's nothing that we can do to change this now. Let's rally around him. Let's build a foundation for him. And then everything else, he should be able to kind of make it his own. And that's something that I'm really excited for. It's a fresh start for this program. And it's one that you talk to people now after the fact around UK that optimism is unbelievably high. Just about, I think the vision was with what Hubert Davis is doing at North Carolina, with what John Shire is doing at Duke. This is a guy that has a leg up on even that competition because he's won at a high level in a high major conference in the Big 12 already. So he's kind of in the same boat, but already has a leg up on the competition. And there's a lot of optimism around that program that this is the guy that they wanted. And I'm all in. I couldn't support the decision anymore.
That's how I feel now. And, after you talked about emotion and tweeting and stuff as it first came out, and I made that mistake, but I don't feel like I said anything bad. I was just kind of just pointing out, the zero NCAA tournament wins, I guess things that I just didn't see as a UK coach, but the appeal of bringing back a member of Big Blue Nation, and that video is hilarious, by the way, of him. And how wild is it that I wore a Mark Pope jersey for an episode of Sources Say back in October and had no idea. And I would have it on if I had it with me, but I don't have it with me at the moment, but I just think that's hilarious that I wore that. So, but when you look at this overall, I started thinking to myself on my drive to work this morning. I said, okay, not that I don't want to say that we influence the way people feel, but I think the way that me and you word things and the way that we talk about things on this platform can certainly kind of influence others to either get on board or maybe criticize it a little bit more. So I started thinking, like, be careful what you say, because I don't want this to start. If this were me taking a coaching job, I wouldn't want to walk into it with 50 or 60% of the people not believing in me and what I can do. I would want everybody to give me the opportunity to show that I can or show that I can't. And so I kind of started feeling bad about how I approached it last night, because I'm like, if I get a head coaching job here in the future, what if somebody reacted like that to me publicly? And I'm like, man, you don't even give me a chance to even show you if I can, succeed in this. So I guess at first I thought maybe it was setting Pope up to fail a little by bringing him back to this, but he wants it. And that's half the battle of doing it here, is you have to want it. And I think now, listen, Rick Pitino, what he meant to this program, what he represented, how he did this job, fantastic. Tubby Smith, great. John Calipari, and the way that he represented the state, unbelievable. You got one of your own now, though. This is the first time you got one that wore that in an era, won a national championship. I feel like I'm living in the 90s today. The only thing that's missing is some denim shorts and the old throwback UK logo that everybody loved. And I just, that's what I'm missing right now. That's the only thing missing. I feel like, honestly, the way the day went, I felt like a kid again, because that's the era that I started watching Kentucky basketball. And it is cool to see Mark Pope come home. I just didn't think it would be now. I thought it would be maybe the next coaching cycle if he proved himself. But if he proves it at Kentucky and does it at Kentucky, then it works. So that's what we're all hopeful for.
This is a total buy-in, high risk, I probably medium risk, high reward hire by UK, because, and I think that was the vision here, that, okay, yes, we understand that he has not won a single postseason game, and that is a concern. Like, I don't want fans to look at the downside of this hire and understand, like, I don't think anybody is saying clear-cut home run, there are no risks with this whatsoever, as safe of a hire as you could possibly imagine. Like, nobody's saying that, because there are risks with this hire. This is a guy that has not won an NCAA tournament game. He was a 6th seed this year at BYU, and they lost to 11th seed Duquesne in the opening round. It's okay to acknowledge some of these things while, you know, recruiting, from a recruiting standpoint. He has landed one top 100 recruit since he arrived at BYU. So how is that guy going to be able to navigate getting dudes at Kentucky? He's clearly going to have to recruit on a different level. He can't get BYU guys to compete in the SEC and compete, you know, for national championships to be at the level that we expect and demand here. It's not going to be a lower tier mid-tier Big 12 school. We're expecting you to come in and immediately compete in the SEC. When you look at the how and you look at what he was kind of given at BYU in terms of restrictions and, you know, the honor code that all players that when you sign on to play at BYU, you're not allowed to drink, you're not allowed to smoke, you're not, you know, extracurricular activities are extremely limited. It is a to the book. If you do these things, you will be kicked off campus. You will be suspended indefinitely. You're gone. So you got to recruit certain types of people, and the limitations, you know, the Mormon side of things as well. Like, there's a whole different, you know, religious aspect of it as well, that it's, you recruit a type of person to BYU, and you can't recruit 95% of the rest of the basketball population, that it just makes it a tricky situation. So yeah, even if you land one high level 3-star or a low level 4-star, it's different doing it at BYU versus anywhere else in college basketball. So he was put at a disadvantage with where he went. It's something that he signed up for, but still constructed rosters that paved the path for 420 win seasons in his 5 years at BYU. This past season, wins over San Diego State, Arizona State, NC State, UCF, Iowa State, Texas, West Virginia, Kansas State, Baylor, Kansas, TCU, and Oklahoma State. First year in the Big 12 as a former mid-major to go in and make the jump, a legitimate jump, not slightly lateral, but kind of maybe up, a legitimate jump to the Big 12, seen as one of, you know, arguably the best conference in college basketball, probably right there behind the SEC. To do that, 3 of his 5 years finishing in the top 20 in KenPom, the substance is there. The core foundation is there. And it was Kentucky's thinking. And when Mitch Barnhart sat down with him and had the thought process of what all of this looks like, it was, the foundation is there. The system is there. What will he be able to do with our freedom on the recruiting trail, our resources, and unbelievable fan support? When we have a total buy-in of what's on the front of the jersey, this, what does that do to elevate the floor here? And what does it do to make the foundation that he set out in Provo to do it in Lexington at Rupp Arena home, where he won a national championship and was a, you know, captain of the Unforgettable. So the thinking is there. It was a buying into the stock of Mark Pope and expecting him to do that. And I think Rick Pitino put it best. in his video. I thought it was an unbelievable video. The 2 minutes of talking about Mark Pope saying, I'm telling you, Dan Hurley is the hottest name in college basketball. I know you like Scott Drew, and I went through a couple of the names that are the hottest guys in basketball. They all went through their trials and tribulations too. Mark Pope's just kind of experiencing that part of his journey right now. If you buy into him, you're going to get the Dan Hurley, you know, end result. And he's also home here. He's a lifer if he hits the ceiling that he's expected to in Lexington. So a lot of long-term excitement, Sean.
Well, that's what I was referencing a moment ago, how your words and what you feel can actually influence how a lot of people feel. So when I watched the Patino endorsement, it made me feel a certain type of way. And from that, I was like, okay, I'm all in now on what this is, because it I just felt like the connection with the program is getting stronger as each hour passes. And I feel like that's been missing for so long, as I felt like there was this great divide between a lot of people, that a breath of fresh air was needed, but it was super fresh when I actually decided to breathe it, is how I felt as the day started going along. And I was telling somebody today that for the last 15 years, I felt like that there was within this program, you had the one and done era really take off, where this fan base really supported the one and done players. They've supported all UK alums, but the one and done kind of took over the La Familia and all this. And they were kind of at the forefront of everything, where I feel like now this is going to kind of shift back to the guys decades ago, the guys from the 80s, the guys from the 90s, Tubby's era. I feel like everybody's kind of back in on this. And I think that all the former players are in support of this hire. Cal's guys are always going to be loyal to Cal, right? Like we know that. But I think at the end of the day, if this works, everyone's on board with it. And all you got to do is win, Jack. It doesn't matter what we think about a hire initially. If this had been Billy Donovan and we loved it and he didn't win, we would hate it. If it's Mark Pope and initially we didn't like it, if he wins, we're going to love it 3 or 4 years from now. So regardless of how we feel today or whether or not we're in support of it, there's only one deciding factor on how it all ends. And it's, does he win? And if he wins, the one thing I'll say, the juice that comes with him is a little bit different. And I think that he can really ignite this fan base to get even rowdier than it's ever been. And I think it's just going to come from a guy that has played on that floor and in that building. That's a good starting point. Being a former Wildcat to me is a pretty good starting point. And I'm actually excited about this. And we'll get into some actual talk about what they can do and what he does offensively, because it's fun to watch.
Yeah, the video of he's a video game, that this offense is a video game. And it is. They grade out to be just analytical anomalies. Like some of the guys they have on their roster, a true five out, like constant motion, constant movement, just action after action after action, where it's just aesthetically pleasing as any team in college basketball. And that's where you got the high level basketball guys tweeting out about it late last night, going, guys, I'm here to tell you, if you haven't watched BYU basketball, you need to turn on the damn tape, because they are fun. And I think that probably played a part into it as well, to sell the brand, you know, on Mitch Barnhart's side, to sell the dream of you're replacing a Hall of Fame coach that accomplished the highest level of basketball here in Lexington. Those are big shoes to fill. And obviously it's not the name brand talent initially in terms of coaching, but when you factor in the fan support and you factor in some of the other legacy things on top of the aesthetics, where you're going to be able to watch this team and think, damn, this is like 90s Rick Pitino. This is like watching the Unforgettables all over again, because that's kind of what he prides himself on. It's kind of a similar. I had a buddy of mine compared, you know, said it's an NBA offense. It's everything that you see that's being done in the NBA, the Golden State Warriors, some of the most progressive modern offenses in the NBA. All of them are, but the best of the best. He's doing this. That's kind of what he's doing. And Mitch Barnhart, to his credit, when talking about the why of all of this today on KSR, talked about that. Said when he was talking me through his offensive scheme and how he kind of lays the foundation of his system, it was just like, oh my gosh, I've never seen anything like it. And we just saw as good as it gets with, you know, Cal and the system that we saw this past season in Lexington. So I think getting some continuity there was important on Mitch's part as well.
And the word that you just used there, it wasn't even the video that everybody watched that got me excited about it. And obviously, I've watched some things that BYU has done in the past with Pope, but the way that he layered continuity ball screen and done a lot of different things and a lot of wrinkles and stuff within that offense was really fun to watch too. And there's actually a video on that with some things that they have done in the past, but as zoom action and everything has kind of become a very popular action. I know we've talked a lot about zoom action on the show. And then last summer when you and I hosted KSR and that's a part of this offense. It's stagger screens. Like it's a lot of different things. It's putting guys in space, back cuts, making reads. It's just playing basketball. The actions that they use, a versatile big at the five that can see the floor and pass but can also shoot it. That's what you're going to see out of Kentucky offensively. You're going to see a high number of threes. You're going to see shots in transition. The ball's going to be advanced. The push ahead. Like those things that Reed Sheppard did this year, advancing the basketball. That is what BYU basketball has been about offensively. You're going to see some similar things, but just when you turn on the tape and you look at it, the way they play in space, and it's not a predictable thing. It's not just a predictable pattern.
You could say random.
It is random. It's taught, it's a philosophy, and it's layered to if somebody makes a back cut, then we know exactly what we're doing, or we're curling off of this, or just it's just playing in space, and it's letting guys have the freedom to do it. And it's exciting to watch. It certainly would be exciting to coach, but for these players, it's going to be exciting to play in. And I think it's going to be an attractive piece to come join Kentucky's basketball program when you see this turned on and you see this on film.
Yeah, I understand. In the timing, I think it was on the cusp of tone deaf. I do. And I talked about this on the rapid reaction. I think that not having the pulse of the fan base has been an issue for Mitch Barnhart for a minute. And just same that we said about John Calipari, that where you don't let that news drop the same day that you got turned down by your number one and your number two. However, when you're confident in your guy, and it's my understanding that Mark Pope was the third guy, that it was Dan Hurley and Scott Drew 1A, 1B, and then Mark Pope was by far the next man up. He contacted several other guys, said, you know, like I talked about with Billy Donovan, like kicked the tires on it very briefly and was just kind of told, yeah, we'll see, but let's have this conversation at the end of the season. We don't want to kind of muck up those waters. It's just, you know, it's his job to push the Bulls to the playoffs. Let's not fog up that. Let's try to push that, kick that can down when we get there. There was never really I'm going to buy into you. Let's make this happen. I'll wait for you, you know, till next Thursday. It was, I trust my gut. I trust that Mark Pope is the guy. And when the interview process started, he checked off every single box that Mitch was looking for in terms of the entertainment value, in terms of what it means to be the head coach here, in terms of, okay, if he uses our resources, what, you know, the recruiting base, what does that look like? If we build out a pretty bang up staff and there's already talk of, you know, bringing in a GM and different things to the things that we complained about with John Calipari, kind of compensating for that and giving this guy all the resources and foundation that he needs to be successful here. If we have the foundation set, he's just steering the boat. He's just the guy that he doesn't, again, that's what we talked about. This job isn't that hard in terms of, like, you don't need to be this absolute genius and recruiting mastermind to be successful here, because it is such a cushy position and it comes with a lot of pressure.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady.
a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And there's downsides to it, but there are so many positives that allows a lot of, there's a reason why 5 coaches won national championships here. There's a reason for those things. You just have to give him the setup, got to give him the platform to succeed. And where I was concerned was with the financial backing, where the NIL would come from. All I heard during this process was boosters wanted to push all of their dollars in on Dan Hurley and would settle for Scott Drew and would be comfortable, you know, pushing their chips in on Scott if it got to that point. But they wanted Dan Hurley, and that's why you got the clearly number one on the list. And then Scott Drew, yeah, we'll be able to invest. And then really beyond that, it was kind of Billy Donovan or bust. So when you move on Mark Pope, the initial worry was, uh-oh, is there going to be any financial backing? What's this going to look like? And then we announced $4 million already invested in this guy for NIL funding. That's what it should be. Give this guy the resources that he needs to steer the ship where it needs to across the finish line. And that is being a successful basketball coach at the University of Kentucky. He's going to get those resources.
Yeah. And I've not looked at the poll results, but I think Stephen put up a poll of whether or not people are excited whether about Mark Pope or not. But from the chat, I'm starting to see a lot more people, you know, buying into it. And here's my take on it. Like, you cannot like Mitch Barnhart. You cannot support Mitch Barnhart. And if this fails, I think everybody's probably going to shift their anger towards Mitch. But what can you do about it right now? If you can either support it or you can go find somebody else to cheer for. So, like, what do you want to do? And I'm choosing, and I think most people are choosing to give it a shot. And let's give him a chance. So let's see what happens. Trust me, if it doesn't work out, I'm going to be sitting right here in the seat giving plenty of criticism for when it doesn't. Or if things start going the wrong direction, I'm going to be the one sitting here telling you it's going this way. I don't like this. This needs to change. The same way I did for John Calipari. That's just the way that we do this. But right now, before they've ever played a basketball game, he is the head coach at Kentucky. I'm all in. I'm all in because of the support that I'm seeing from people that I didn't publicly see giving support. And I get that it's a new hire and it's something fresh, but at the same time, it has been refreshing to see this. And I want to see what Sunday looks like. And I want to hear him speak. And I want to hear him talk about his vision for what this program can be. But it was really, really pleasing and refreshing today to hear about the name on the front of the chest getting talked about. That's been missing for a long time. That got stripped away. I don't know if that was intentionally stripped away, but it went away. Like your shirt, Jack. To me, it didn't have the same meaning for a while as it should have. But now it does. And that's really encouraging to see. And that's what I want this program to be about.
It's fascinating. It really is. I enjoyed listening to Mitch this morning on KSR talk about that and just, you know, call it jabs at Cal, call it whatever. Nobody, when players first is your motto for so long, that's what it becomes. That becomes the identity. It becomes about, and again, there's nothing wrong with prioritizing the players and putting them in position to succeed long term. But at the end of the day, the value of this program and what it means, and again, as you said, playing for the name on the front, there was a, we're going to do this together now. You know, like there was that kind of punch with what Mitch was saying of we're done doing it's you guys doing your own thing on your own island and it's successful. It's working. So I'll just, you know, shut up over here and watch from afar. In order to make this work, it has to be an all-in effort with everybody. It has to be communication and I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine. That stuff was missing with this program. That's why I didn't love the messaging after Mitch made the decision to bring Cal back of the, well, we're best friends. Obviously, you guys are being dramatic. We, you know, people saying that we don't have a great relationship. it's not saying that you guys hate each other's guts. It's saying you guys don't have the partnership that is required when you are the University of Kentucky head coach, men's basketball coach, and the athletic director of the University of Kentucky. Those two things have to go hand in hand from a partnership perspective. That was absolutely, no matter what they tell you, it was not the case. And Mitch revealed that, I think, just understanding what it could be now that we have a fresh start with another coach. It's clear that that was a top priority of, man, this is a guy that will never make this program bigger, that make himself bigger than this program. That's never going to be an issue with Mark Pope. And those guys are successful. He'll always have the resources. He'll always have the backing because he'll never make it bigger than the program.
No, you're right. 100% right. So in my lifetime, I have seen 4 coaches take the sideline and coach Kentucky basketball. Rick Pitino, Tubby Smith, Billy Gillespie, John Calipari. 3 of them won national championships. None of them had a national championship before they got here. Billy Gillespie is the outlier there. Terrible hire, awful hire. We all know that. Mitch's lowest point. Given the history of this program and given what we have seen and the support that it shows, and I think this support's going to be even greater once it comes full circle to it here and we start, because he is one of our own. If done the right way and he gets guys, and I think he's going to get guys here that he wasn't getting at BYU, who's to say that Mark Pope doesn't become the 4th and out of my lifetime to win national championship?
Quote was pretty sick. The quote was pretty sick about that, saying that he said, get behind this guy and let's go win something together. Let's go have the heartbeat of what's on the front of that jersey the right way. This guy can do it. We can go win championships and we will. It was pushing all of his chips in, saying, we got the guy that is going to get us across the finish line. Now it's on all of us to kind of continue that momentum and let him get to that point. So in terms of getting dudes, what does that bar look like to you, Sean? Now that we're here, he's not going to recruit on John Calipari's level. That's obvious. He's not going, this is not going to be a revolving door of top 10 talent, but what is successful to you? What is the vision in terms of laying the foundation of personnel that is going to be the recipe for success here?
Well, I mean, let's look at it. Like the one-and-done era at one point was the way that you got to Final Fours. It was the way that you won national championships, but then it went away. So you don't necessarily have to have top 5, top 10 NBA talent now to win a national championship. You're going to mix in NBA talent, but you're going to have guys stay in this program longer than what they were. You're going to have guys that are here for a few years that I think are committed to the program. You're going to get high-level transfers. You're still going to be able to recruit and get high school talent. But I'm interested to see what the philosophy looks like and what it will be pieced together. What is the ingredients of it, Jack? But this first team and this first roster is going to be different. Like, he's going to bring some from where he's coming from, obviously. Like, you're already seeing names go into the portal.
Some dudes.
Some guys that have been successful. And I like that transition. And this was the value in adding someone that is already in the college game. You're bringing people that are already under his system, know what he wants to do, and that was successful. Yes, they lost in the opening round of the NCAA tournament, but they had a good season in an elite conference. You mix that with some guys that you can get and some new faces, it's all going to be about fit. I thought for the longest time Cal Whitten got athletes, just athlete after athlete after athlete. Top 15, top 10, just went and got them. You're not going to see that now. This is going to be more of a design. Okay, this is the way that we play at the 5. You have to have these core principles in your game to be able to play this position in our program. And every single 5 man is going to be aligned to fit that. Same thing with your point guard. Same thing with your 2 and your 3 and your 4. Everything is going to be a system that has some structure to it, but is designed to do with what you want to do, not just your best athletes and go figure it out. So to me, I don't know what that blend's going to look like, if it's going to be transfer portal, if it's going to be high school, but how does he recruit the state? I think that that's something that, that you'll see here early on, because the talent in this state is good. There are some guys in this state
improving mightily.
Improving from someone that's coached in the heart of the state this year, I can tell you it's significantly improving. I want to see what it looks like roster one, but beyond that, I want to see where they kind of go and how much do they put on high school recruiting? How much do they value that? Because this is a different era in college basketball, but I feel like that he's built to handle that. And I feel like that offensively, what they do is going to attract guys wanting to come play in this program. The freedom of movement and things that I was telling you about in the spacing, that's exciting stuff to play in, Jack. And when you turn on that tape and you show that to recruits, he's going to get higher level talent than he's ever got at any point in his career. He's going to put some guys in the NBA. I just don't think it's going to be that constant four or five out the door every single year that we've been seeing. And I think that that alone is going to give him a solid starting point to stand on.
So I got a text this morning from a high-level scout that I trust that understands evaluating, understands kind of roster makeup and construction, and you know, kind of gets the mechanics of college basketball at a really, really high level. He sent me this text. It feels like UK fans are perplexed by the idea of a coach actually having a system and not just recruiting the best player available. The whole notion of he can't get dudes is insane to me. People have no idea how challenging it is to recruit to BYU. Bring that system to UK, drop the restrictions, and add real NIL. I think there's actually really high upside. Pretty wild how fast he got BYU rolling in the Big 12 without having literally one super touted guy. In reality, he didn't get dudes because you literally can't get dudes there. Hoping he doesn't get away from who he is now, the fan base will be angry they aren't in on every five-star, but that's not the model anymore. He can really evaluate and is a better recruiter than most think, in my opinion. Fan base is going to have to let him do his thing and have some trust, because there's real evidence it works. When I got that text, I was like, damn, all right, maybe this thing is cooking. Like, maybe this is the vision. If you are able to maybe get back a guy or two, if it Reed Shepard's obviously the dream and pie in the sky, and the relationship with Mark Pope and Jeff Shepard is fascinating because they were roommates in college, very, very, very close. And Jeff Shepard has done a media tour today talking about that importance and the impact that he makes, while also saying that we're still gathering the right information and we're going to be a pretty fact-based decision with this. So the expectation he still leaves for the NBA, but this was kind of the one guy that, again, remember I talked weeks ago that Reed kind of had a little feel of, if there is a rebirth of Kentucky basketball, if that's the path that this thing goes down, there's a draw there. There's obviously something there that is appealing and you'd want to be a part of. Jeff going through a coaching change on his end, and just kind of the storylines aligning, and who the guy before Mark Pope wasn't seen as even remotely close to who would be that guy. But now that it is Mark Pope, it is kind of like, well, if there was one shot at this guy coming back, it's Mark Pope coaching this basketball team with the NIL support that they're getting now with Mark as the leader. So see if you can get some guys coming back. See what the recruiting looks like. Travis Perry is the guy that everybody should expect to return. But if you can steal one of those other guys, what happens if you figure out a way to retain Boogie Fland? What happens if you figure out a way to, you know, swing for the moon and stars? It's unlikely, but, you know, swing for some of those guys, see where it lands. If you don't, go get Liam McNeely. That's a guy that wants to play for a blue blood program, decommitted from Indiana because Mike Woodson stinks, and just kind of thought, okay, well, this is a new opportunity. John Calipari was recruiting me to Kentucky before, but he also had 12 of the same position at 6'7", you know, kind of wing forward combos. So maybe there is a path there for a Liam McNeely to, you know, Mark Pope to kind of slide in and recruit that guy. Cause that is kind of the long-term vision. You can go get top 15, top 20, top 30 and develop those guys into 2-3 year players. And that might be the vision with, you know, fill it in with top 75, top 100 guys, develop that and have that be the core group with the transfer portal. I think that's the answer, but you're in a really good spot because of where recruiting is in the state for Jasper Johnson, Malachi Moreno, some of those, and Trent Noah. What is he doing right now? Is that going to be a possible option for Kentucky? Just, you have options now that may not have been, you know, possible with John Calipari here.
Yeah, you do. Like this is going to be completely different, and it's going to take people a while to get used to it. When you do it a certain way for 15 years, that becomes your life. And there are people that are in this chat, I'm sure, listening to us right now, that are probably 20, 21 years old, and the only guy that they knew was John Calipari and John Calipari's program. Like, I remember what it was like following late days of Patino and Tubby, and then you transition and you go through Billy G and you get to Cal. Like, it was completely different. So I was 19 when Cal got the job at Kentucky, and now I'm 34. Like, that's how long he was here. Mark Pope, it's crazy to me that he's, what, 51 years old? Like, it's crazy to me, because I remember watching Pope the first 1996 national championship game. I didn't understand the game of basketball, but I knew I was watching it. It was late 97, 98 when I really started understanding the game and watching those runs and stuff with my dad. But Pope was a part of that. And I remember Pope as a player. And it's crazy to me that we're here and he's the head coach of this program. The NIL support and the relationship from coach to boosters is, to me, what's significantly important, and whether or not that this works. We do know for a fact that that was a fractured relationship for a while. When you have that fracture in that part, that is a main artery for this program. And when you've got something wrong there, it has issues everywhere else too. And I don't know if that was ever going to be completely all together again. This is a fresh start there, which gives me hope that with that, you can add something to Pope that he's not had, while also having the X's and O's mind that he's been producing and using. Look, great basketball mind. When you watch his tape, you can't say anything other than great basketball mind. Now let's put all the other resources with this and let's see how this thing plays out. I'm excited for Sunday.
Let's talk about that. How cool is it that we're getting this done at Rupp Arena, that this is open to the public, where it can be a total consensus, all-in push from Big Blue Nation, open door, free parking, free admission. They want Rupp Arena as packed as possible at 4:30 on Sunday. How cool is it that we're going in? We're obviously going to get every 1996 member. I wonder if Rick Pitino finds his way here. I bet there's a chance. But how cool is it that we do kind of get this moment to say, all right, we got our quick emotions out of the way. We were all kind of weirded out by how quickly this moved. Okay, let's move on. Let's grow up and accept this for what it is. And now we buy in. Let's push all of our chips in on this and let's experience all this together. I think Sunday is going to be a really, really cool moment for this fan base to kind of rally around the same thing with everybody on the same team for the first time in a really long time.
I'm laughing that everybody thought I was like in my 40s or 50s for some reason.
Somebody said you were 50 and I thought I chuckled.
I was like stunned by that for a moment. No, I'm 34, but it is really cool. It's really cool that it's happening at Rupp. You mentioned 96, the 90s era is going to be all over the place. Not just Sunday, but it's going to be all over the building moving forward. Very exciting. And now the next piece is you got to hear him speak. You hear him talk, you hear his pitch, you hear his vision, and then you start to see it. And the way that you see it will be each name that's added to this roster, that's the missing stuff now. Each name that's added to this roster and to this team will add some excitement every time that they commit or return. Then it'll be assistant coaches and staff. And then once you see all this put together, let's see what it looks like in 6 to 7 weeks. Let's see what this thing looks like. And then kind of we can identify how excited we should be for year one. How good can this Kentucky team be? As far as a staff, you know, I've been talking to you all in the chat today. Like it won't shock me if there is some former UK faces that make the trip to Lexington with Mark Pope. Some people that have probably gone through the same things that he's gone through, won national championships and been a part of that decade in that era. It wouldn't shock me if someone is on that staff. I've said to me, one of these guys that played in that era with Pope that you trust. And there's plenty of names out there. I know, Chuck Hayes and stuff is a name that's popped up and showed some support. Nazi Muhammad, a long time guy in the NBA. I would love to see somebody like that just added to the program, not even just in an assistant coaching role, but someone to kind of connect it, maybe manage some things with NIL and some other stuff. But I think that would be a great thing for the program if somebody with some ties to it could come back and kind of help Mark and do some things. How crazy is it that it's Mark and Mark now? Mark Pope, Mark Stoops, like it's just all on them, all in on
it's
Mark.
It's going to get mixed up. Everybody's going to have a moment where they're like in the middle of a football game. Come on, Mark Pope, what the hell? Damn it, Stoops, what? It's going to happen. So that's going to be a new little adjustment, but it's cool. It's a very cool era. We're excited for the fresh start of the program in terms of expectations. Obviously, it's so early. We don't even know what the coaching staff looks like. We don't know what recruiting, what the roster is going to end up looking like. We don't know who comes back, whatever. So this is a total guesstimate at this point. But what's the expectation? What is going to be the bare minimum for fans going in, knowing the expectation, knowing where things have been, the adjustment to a new era, a new coach, all of those new things? What is the baseline for next season going in of, I think if it's a Sweet 16, fans are going to be happy. Are we even at that point yet?
No, we're not, because I want to see what the overall roster looks like before we start, putting a marker maybe on what I expect. I guess what I'm going to look for more is, I think there's going to be some excitement. I think some of the people that kind of, I'm just going to throw it out there, I think there was some apathy within the fan base at times with this program that totally I think agree. A lot of people didn't get excited to turn on Kentucky basketball. And I know that probably sounds crazy to some for me to say that, but I can tell you there were people that when I talked to, they had not watched games. And it was just, they were so just over. There was so much fatigue with what was going on that there was a change that needed to be made. And now it's made. I think you're going to get that back. So I'm looking for that spark. I'm looking at what the schedule looks like. Are there some preseason tournaments that Kentucky's not been playing in?
Do it.
Down the pike that Kentucky's
sign up for all of them.
Sign up for all of them. Are there some home and homes that Kentucky has not
played? St. John's is absolutely getting put on the schedule.
Exactly. Things like that. That's what I'm looking for out of the gate are those things. Now, sometime in May, when I see what this roster looks like with skill set and pieces and experience, what do they do? Or how many freshmen are there? That's when I'll start keying in. But do I think that Mark Pope can put a competitor on the court and be in the upper four of the SEC in year one? Yes.
Me too.
I do. And if you do that, then you've put yourself in position. You can be a tournament team. And then I want to see what happens from there. But I want to look at the overall roster. Year one, I'm not expecting year one to be his best year.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean it can't be really good, and it doesn't mean Kentucky can't have a contender. We need to see what this thing looks like, who he gets from the transfer portal, who he gets from BYU. Does anybody stay in this recruiting class? Does someone come back? Like if Reed Shepherd were to come back, it instantly adds value to me on what Kentucky can be and what they could be in the tournament. Like getting that guy would be a great starting point. But we're still a ways away on how that's going to go.
Brett said in the chat that you just jinxed yourself by saying May for roster. So
it'll be July.
No, man, this is cool. I hope everybody goes, supports Mark Pope. Be there Sunday. It's going to be a blast at Rupp Arena. It's going to be full. I really think that it's going to be an unbelievable crowd of people that by the time we get to Sunday afternoon, the people that have been on the fence and going, I'm just not feeling this move too quick, all that stuff. I think that there's going to come a time within the next 48 hours that by the time we get to the press conference, people are going to go, oh, screw it. I'll see you at Rupp Arena. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be a lot of fun. Everybody show up. Support Mark Pope. It's going to be a blast. And we got a new era of Kentucky basketball. It's a lot of fun, Sean. Let's go on, get out of here. Well, first, Source Day Podcast is brought to you by Andy Ludeke, MyPerfectFranchise.net. Andy is a franchise consultant as well as franchise owner and helps people find franchises that fit their skill sets, financial requirements, time to commit, and more. His services are 100% free, and he is here to help if you have any questions about business ownership. You can learn more and contact Andy anytime at www.myperfectfranchise.net. Sean, let's go on and get out of here. Where can fans find your work?
Still getting used to saying this. You can follow me at underscore Coach S. Smith on social media. That's where it's at now. And everybody's doing a good job figuring that out too. Like, everybody's been tagging me and stuff. I don't think
I've seen people tagging you saying that you picked the wrong username and you're too difficult to find now. So
people been saying that?
I like two of them, but I like being, I like hyperbolizing things clearly.
Somebody's sitting there going at GBB country and like Sean's deleted his Twitter.
Well, guess we'll never get to find him again. You can find me on Twitter at Jack Pilgrim KSR. Go subscribe to KSR Plus. It's been an absolute madhouse ever since basically the beginning of the off season all the way up through now. Just overwhelming, but it's an absolute blast over there. So make sure you go subscribe there. Subscribe right here at the KSR YouTube channel. Keep on liking, keep on commenting. We appreciate each and every one of you. We'll see you next time.